This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 296 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, only just, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Well, I'm the king of technology.
That you are.
Oy, oy, oy. How we ever get this podcast up and running is amazing to me. The fact that between my internet networking, my modem refusing, the computer not going, Skype saying home's not available, how we get anything up.
Active you know, tin cans and string.
If you turn enough stuff on and off again, things start to
eventually
work.
Eventually it'll work, yeah.
That's one it. Day we'll get Adam Davidson on board on the podcast as an interviewer to explain how the on and off switch thing works. Yeah. How with anything computer, you turn it on and off enough times, it starts to work. Be fabulous.
It's like the 21st century equivalent of the Fonzie touch.
Oh, yeah.
Just thump it.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to go quick tonight.
Yes.
Because you've got to go away.
Yes, not tonight, but,
yeah, but
because I'm going away for the weekend, I need to edit this tonight after we finish recording. Yes,
I do. You don't just leave it raw, just beautiful language and touching moments. No. Well, that's news.
News to you.
To me. Yeah. So you're actually putting some effort in outside of the hour we talk?
Yeah, just a touch.
Really? How long does it take?
You don't want to know.
Really?
Yeah. It takes me another hour to edit it because I've got to play through it.
Listen to the whole thing.
Even though I don't play it in real time, I play it through at double speed. It's the stopping and starting to do the edits that adds up the extra half hour. So there's a good hour of editing and then, you know, probably 5 minutes to run the mix off because
don't complain about 5 minutes, dude.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. And then there's the actual writing of all the show notes and, you know, pasting all the links in and all that sort of stuff. So there's another half hour in that.
Just cut and paste everything that we send to each other and just shove that in his show notes. Good enough.
I wish it was that simple.
Translate this, why don't you?
Anyway, how's your week been?
My week has been. I've had an interesting week. Well. Yeah, I've had a very interesting week. Very, right. Very interesting. Lots
Do
of
tell.
Interesting stuff. Well, a friend photographer of mine got in touch with me a couple of days ago.
So which is it? Is it a friend or is it a photographer?
Well, I don't really have any friends. What? So just be a photographer.
Okay, so you're lying on the first part. Right.
So a photographer friend of mine, a photographer I know, right. Got in touch with me.
Yeah.
And she's been approached by this advertising agency who likes one of her images.
Yeah.
She's a baby photographer, likes one of her images, and they want to recreate it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were offering her work and it was they're going to pay her in exposure.
This is where it gets weirder.
Right.
They want to recreate the photograph. Now, that in itself is astounding, the fact that
that someone actually asked.
Well, not just said, well, and this is a world-leading advertising agency.
Right.
They didn't just go to one of their photographers, here's a shot we want to do, can you do something like it?
Yeah.
They actually bothered to get in touch with the photographer.
Wow.
And they want her to work the show. Said, look, we did fly three people in from England because they're English, London-based.
Right.
So they're going to fly three people in from England for this shoot to recreate this one shot.
Wow.
Over several days of shooting.
Which I'm sure it didn't take her to do originally.
No, with multiple. But here's the thing, though, because it's going to be over multi. Now, she's a natural light shooter.
Right.
Never really done any studio stuff or anything.
Right.
But to recreate, the exact type of lighting that's in this shot requires the same time of day, the same time of year, the same, you know, it's the same intensity of light that was coming through her windows in her natural light studio at that time of year, which, of course, you know, not going
to
happen.
But they're not prepared to wait for the right time of year.
Of course, no. They want the shots urgently. So she put a call out to me and said, look, you know, can I get you to come and do a one-on-one day with me and not teach me studio lighting because that's going to be not really possible. Whilst I run a one-day workshop on studio lighting, it's it covers a lot of stuff, and it's all about, you know, understanding how to use light. But if you're trying to recreate a specific shot, that's more important to focus on how do we get that shot rather than how lights work and angles and all that and different sizes of soft boxes. That stuff's less important than, okay, I'll be here for the day to show you how to light it so you get it the way you had it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just if I can interrupt for a sec.
Please do. Interject, in fact.
Is it not outside the realms of possibility that she could go back to them and say, look, I'm a natural light shooter. I don't know studio lighting. Do you mind if I bring a lighting consultant?
No, they've got no. Well, I'm actually going to be there on the days of the shoot.
Oh, okay, right.
Cool. I've decided.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So the process works like this. So because of the way the shoot's got to be, and they need it for billboard size, and it's a worldwide campaign.
Yeah.
Right. She's got to be up and over the baby at enough height to cover. They need all this stuff. Basically, she's got to photograph about a 6 or 8 foot square area.
Yep.
Which also includes the baby in it.
Yep.
From above.
Yep. So you do it from a balcony. Yep.
No.
Over a mezzanine.
No.
Why not?
Because you try and find a studio that's got a balcony with a mezzanine.
Oh, you find a house and you rent the house for the day.
This is where the dilemmas have been. We've been through cherry pickers, stock pickers, forklifts, all sorts of things. We're still working on the up and over, because the phase one that we have to shoot with, it took us a while to find out. Everything we looked up, you couldn't find anywhere where you could do remote tethered capture and control the focus.
Right.
So you kind of had to be with the camera, which of course is not
easy. Yeah, which means she's got to be up in the air.
Yeah. And okay. I suggested, you know, I found this great machine that lifts engines.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just basically like a big chain. I could strap her to the chain and swing her. Oh, but she wasn't keen on that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why. You know, people are so fussy. And I don't know why that you'd feel funny like that in front of international executives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you feel silly? I don't know, I'd put a cape on her.
Yeah.
Suggested a cape. Yeah. And we could call her the Flash because we're using Flash.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice. She wouldn't go for it. Don't think he's got a cape anyway.
Okay. So long story short, have you come up with a solution?
No, it can't be a long story short. It's going to flesh out half the podcast, dude. it's really interesting. To me, this has been a really interesting week. So I want to talk about it. Yeah. So we've been looking at lots of studios and thinking about things, but it's quite a challenge to have to emulate as close to exactly as possible another shot. Yeah. I mean, lighting-wise, especially when we're talking incredible subtle lighting and incredibly subtle lighting changes and shifts.
Yep.
So it's been an interesting challenge. And it just brought home, once again, the amount of things we've had to deal with to get this shoot to work for a fairly simplistic shot. It just shows just how much, you know, commercial or working photography is about problem-solving.
Yeah.
It's not so much about, okay, well, the actual shot's simple. The lighting is okay. Once we figured it, once I got it sorted, it's reasonable. I've got the simplest solution possible. Mm-hmm. So everything's quite, you know, the camera settings, all that stuff's simple. It's all, well, I've got to, how do I not have this in the frame? How do I get that angle? How do I solve that problem? So it's been a good mental challenge for me this week, which is always good.
So I'm really wondering how much is this shot going to resemble the original shot that piqued the advertising agency's interest in the first place, because I'm sure she didn't shoot it like this.
But she normally stands over the top of them,
right?
We're going to get it as close. We're going to shoot four babies over a couple of days, and all four end shots will look almost exactly the same as her original,
right?
Lighting wise, anyway, baby pose, babies will do what they do, I guess. But we did she hired me for a one-on-one day today.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the only baby that was available to us, which is a 9-week-old.
Right.
Now, all these newborn baby photographers have this zone, I think it's like between 7 and 15 days is when they shoot them. They won't shoot them before that, and they won't shoot them after that.
Right.
Yeah, so So this baby was way too old, and I've never really, I kind of understood. I mean, at that age, they sleep deeper, they're easy to move, they're small, you can sort of mush them around a bit more.
Yep.
But even just that few weeks extra age, this kid was a nightmare to work with. Never worked with kids or animals, as they say. Not a nightmare, but the kid's natural. He's going to, you get poked and prodded and moved around, it's going to wake up,
yep.
You know? And here's its mum's voice, it's more alert, it wakes up, you know? A flash goes off, you know, it's going, what's that? It wakes up, you know? It was an interesting little view into that world of baby photography, which I've never had anything to do with, of course, mm-hmm. Of just the challenges they face. And this woman's like a baby whisperer watching her work and settle this baby down from crying to shooting stage.
Yep.
It's quite amazing to watch, you know?
Yeah, right.
Just this, she's got this little tool. It's a shushing machine and it shushes.
Right.
Just goes, shh, shh. Over and over again, that's all it does.
Yeah, right.
They've actually got a machine for shushing. Someone made and invented a machine to shush. In fact, it's the guy who invented his voice that's going shush.
Yeah, right.
Because she goes, after you've been shushing for 10 or 15 minutes, you're going to get a bit bored of it, so you buy the machine. I thought, isn't there an app for that? This is my first thought. Surely, an app. So that was kind of cool. And then the agency's been kind of weird too, because they sent her image to her and saying, look, this is the image we've seen. We've looked at baby photographers around the world, images of babies from around the world, and yours is the one we've chosen, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the image they had was something they got off the internet.
Yeah.
They'd taken her watermark off. They'd taken it to their art department and done all sorts of changes with it, apparently, even though the image they sent to her was normal. But they sort of explained what they'd been going through in the art department with the image to see, checking different colours of fabrics and stuff. And
yeah, right.
So they've been doing all this work on this. And so it's just, once again, quite amazing that it comes back to, they're still prepared to go to the original photographer, not just get someone to emulate it.
Yeah.
And then because she wasn't available to fly to England at a drop of a hat to do the shoot, they're all coming here.
Wow.
it's quite amazing. It's kind of nice to see the agency doing the right thing.
It is.
As far as.
And I wonder if it is simply because of the number of stories that we've heard over the last 5 years or so where agencies have done the shonky thing and then been sprung for it, and then all the negative publicity that comes out on the back end of that. That maybe
say a lot of these baby photos are fairly similar.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know. But how often have we heard stories about they steal an idea or they steal an image, thinking that they won't get sprung for stealing the image, and then it comes out and they do get sprung for it, and I wonder.
Suppose it's like the Michael Jordan Nike Air picture, leaping in the air. I mean, they recreated that and shot it.
Yeah,
but the guy who shot the original image is suing them. So I guess you're right. Yeah.
So I just wonder if it's sort of come full circle and they're starting to realize that the negative publicity that comes out if you do get caught in the act is just not worth the grief.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that maybe in the long run, it's cheaper to fly three people from England and do it with the original photographer than it is to wear all the bad publicity at the other end if it all goes pear shaped.
Yeah.
So
one of the interesting thing about the lighting of this thing is, because we're trying to emulate window light, I'm using an 8-foot umbrella, just a whopping great big umbrella with two baffles in front of it. But it just reinforces when you're trying to work with incredible subtlety, very minute changes, just how little movement to softbox you need to do with an umbrella to completely change the feel of an image. Oh, I need a tiny bit more contrast. There it is, and you can produce it by a tweak at a, not a lot of wholesale changes, not a lot of, I'm going to move the softbox 5 feet.
No.
It's, let's just change this angle by, 5 or 6 degrees, and there's your contrast,
Yeah, right.
So it was a good experience once again, because you tend to forget stuff, or you just tend to not think about stuff anymore.
We've not called on to use it every single day.
Exactly, yeah. So it's been fun just using this whopping great big light source and this tiny subject. I took a couple of my daughter's plastic babies because the actual baby wasn't arriving for an hour or so into the day. So we took this plastic to start playing with lighting and explain lighting and stuff. And my daughter's so proud; she's got these lovely baby photos of her baby.
Right.
My daughter loves her plastic babies. You know, she feeds them. She goes to bed with them. She takes them for walks in their prams. Loves these things. So now she's got proper baby photos of them. She's wrapped.
Okay.
It's kind of cute, but a little bit disturbing. Yeah, at the same time. And once again, I guess we balk photographers sometimes about charging, especially women. You know, it gets a lot into women photographers don't charge enough for their work, and people balk at $1,000 for wedding photography. But imagine what this one image is costing this advertising agency.
Yeah,
to fly three people from England and put them up, and no one flies from England to Australia on anything less than business class.
Yeah,
so there's 10,000-12,000 a ticket. This we're talking almost 40,000 in expenses just to fly these three people out.
Yep.
And goodness knows how much on top of all that. And I'm not cheap. Yeah. I've been doing studio visits. I've done the one-on-one training. I'll be there for the setup day shot and the days of the shoots.
Yep.
So then you can factor all these costs into account.
Yeah.
What's this one image costing?
Yeah.
it's you know, what's their budget for this advertising campaign? It's quite astounding. It's kind of a different stratosphere.
You've got to wonder, how do they calculate the ROI on that?
Yeah.
How do you factor, okay, we're going to spend, you know, let's say it costs them $100,000 in total.
Yeah.
You know, to get this image. How do they work out based on all of the various forms of media in which they will use it, because it'll probably be, you know, print, bus shelters, bus sides, taxi backs, cinema,
online,
you know, all the various media that it's going to get used on, and over what period of time. How do you calculate up front, okay, based on all of this usage, we can expect to make X number of dollars in sales because of the strength of the image. Therefore, we can afford to spend $100,000 on getting the image.
Yeah, so you can see how hard it is to just have for the photographer to quote on a job like this.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to factor, and then factor in, okay, what's a 2-year license worth? A 3-year? What's it cost to buy? Yeah, because it's going to go all that's to the whole rigmarole. It's not like, oh, hire me for a day. License this image and figure out how much all that's going to cost.
Yeah,
it's tricky stuff.
Yeah,
damn tricky stuff.
Wow.
The only thing I can't say who the client is, obviously.
No, of
but
course.
And this is not obviously the client, but you know, like dishwashing liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's say clothes washing liquid, powder, whatever those things are. I think, was it not 90% of the cost of washing powder is the advertising, and 10% is the actual product cost. And there's lots of stuff like that. There's that kind of market where it's all, you know, TV advertising and all that stuff where all the costs are for a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like toothpaste. How much could toothpaste cost to make?
Don't know.
Yeah, cents. But the advertising these people do, like continuously, is where why the things cost dollars and dollars for a tube.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, how many tubes of toothpaste do you need to sell to justify $100,000 bloody
ad campaign?
Ad campaign. Yeah. Yeah. If you're making $2 in each one, we've only got to sell 50,000 tubes, don't you?
Yep.
Just to cover the cost, which is worldwide campaign. That's not an awful lot.
No.
Yeah. Different world.
Oh yeah.
Very, very different world. So it's been a really interesting week, and this isn't going all the way into early June when the actual shoot's on. So
right,
I'm kind of having a bit of fun.
Awesome.
It's been nice to actually get out and have to do something rather than just sit at home and catch up on my stories. But can I say I've been missing my stories?
Which stories?
Almost, yeah, my stories. Yeah, my days of my life. Stories.
Okay.
What else you got? Well, I got a bunch of stuff. Yeah. This one I found really interesting. The state of Wyoming in America has just passed a law. Did you see this?
I saw the headline, but I didn't get a chance to actually go and read the details of it.
So basically the law they passed, and this astounds me, is that it's now illegal in the state of Wyoming to go on either public or private land outside of cities, collect data, which also includes take photographs, of something if your intention is to report that to the government.
What?
So let's say you see a chemical leak somewhere.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to take a photo of the chemical leak and then reported to the government that there's a chemical leak, regardless of how much danger for human health it may be.
What?
It's against the law. It's against the law to take a photograph that you're intending, or collect data, like water samples to test water purity as an example, if it's your intention to provide that to the government.
Yeah, right. And the reason is the state wants to conceal the fact that many of its streams are contaminated by E. coli bacteria, strains of which can cause serious health problems, even death.
Yeah, so rather than get farmers to control where they keep their herds, they'd rather put something like this in place.
Put a gag order on the public.
But it does make it interesting with photography. You know, if you're an environmental photographer, let's say, you know, you see all these time-lapse photos of, like, what are those things called? Glaciers receding.
Yeah.
As an example, that's an environmental data capture image. You can't do something like that in Wyoming anymore if your intention is to then provide that to government to show that the glaciers are receding.
And if you do, you have just committed a crime and could face up to 1 year in prison.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
That's so backward. It's just nuts.
That is crazy.
It's crazy, wow. Crazy stuff.
But, right, like, what happens when... I mean, I'm sure Wyoming has a state tourism council.
Yeah.
How do they go out and hire a photographer to shoot a campaign so that they can produce brochures? Hey?
Yeah, good point.
Not easily,
I'd say. Look, when you're factoring the cost of your coat, let's put in your time, you know, maybe travel, transportation.
Factor in the year that you're going to spend
in
jail.
That you won't win any money. Right, now, how much are you charging? What, $4,000? You're mad. Can you do it any cheaper? So that just kind of blew me away.
Now, a private room in the jail.
Yeah, absolutely. You and Bubba.
Unbelievable.
So what a crazy, crazy world we live in. I've got a little heading there called Gilding the Lily.
Yeah.
Which is this Lily camera, which is this drone with a video camera, still camera, which is fairly common these days. But it's one of those autonomous ones that you throw up in the air, starts flying, and it follows and tracks a device that you wear on your wrist.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, so this camera
is
fully...
the solo shot that I mentioned last week.
Yeah, but this thing's fully waterproof.
This is a drone, yeah.
And it floats.
Yeah.
So you can put it, you actually throw it into a lake, start paddling, hit the button, flies up out of the lake and starts following you.
Wow.
Yeah, as an example. This is one scene on one of their videos. They're on this big suspension-type bridge, and they just throw the thing off the edge of the bridge,
yeah.
And it just starts falling, and then they hit start, and it starts to fly up, but it flies up from below the bridge and does the full capture as it comes up whilst looking at them. You can trick it to do like a full loop, a 360 loop around you. It's all these different things you can put in. And it's got 20-minute fly time, which is pretty good.
Wow!
But why I'm bringing it up, if anyone's kind of keen on this thing,
yeah.
It doesn't come out till January or February 2016. But if you order now, and I'm assuming pay before, I think it's June the 15th, it's half price.
Wow!
$499 instead of $999.
Wow!
So if you're the thought process of it,
yeah,
maybe that's a good deal if you're prepared to wait. And the unit looks pretty darn cool.
It's a very sexy looking unit.
Oh, isn't it though?
Yeah. And so are the specs.
It fits through a backpack.
I don't know if you've looked at the specs, but 1080p video at 60 frames.
60 frames a second, plus I think it does 120 slow-mo as well.
Yeah, 120 frames at 720p.
12 megapixel still photos.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty darn usable.
It's cool.
And I'll just imagine, I'd love to have something like that at workshops. It'd just be so cool. Yeah, just sort of this aerial cool there without actually having to have any skill. And then when you want it to land, you just put your arm out, palm up, and it just comes and lands on your hand.
Oh, wow.
And chops your hands off with the blades. But other than that, it just flies in and stops, and then putting your backpack and on you go.
And the tenants so travel up that. The travelator through the rotating blades.
Monty Python. What? You're not after an abattoir. No, way. Old people's home. But surely. Anyway, we won't get into that because you might have to edit out some of the bad language. The next thing on my list is NPR, the sort of community radio arts radio station, online web radio station, did an interview with Sally Mann.
Right.
Do you know, have you heard or know of
Sally Mann? I do not know of Sally Mann.
Yeah, so she's an incredibly controversial photographer for about the last 20 or 30 years.
Okay.
Who does the most remarkable photography.
Right.
But a lot of it is of her semi-naked and naked children.
Right.
So the subject matter is very controversial, obviously. Okay. She's copped an awful lot of criticism, but she's a phenomenal artistic photographer as well. So it's in that, yeah, once again, having kids myself, you know, it's this, there's nothing about these images, especially the young kids, where there's anything other than just kids being kids.
Yeah.
But she's just a wondrous photographer. So I thought it'd be an interesting interview to listen to. It goes for about 45 minutes. So. Okay. So if you listen to podcasts, this might be something you might want to put on your list to have a listen to.
Yeah.
If you've got some time. And really listen to someone interview. I haven't heard the interviews, but I'd love to see how they approach her controversiality. Yep. See, I put the ality on the end. made it a real word. Definitely if you have, I know a lot of people know Sally Mann's work because she's been the forefront of criticism for a long time. It's worthwhile having a gander at.
Right.
Now, what do I put down here? Social media, social injustice. Oh, that's right. I remember now.
Before we move on from that, there was an episode of, was it Triangulation from Leo Laporte? I'm going to have to work out what it was, and I'll mention it next week if I can find it. There was something that I was listening to just through this week, and I remember thinking to myself, I must mention this on Shutters Inc., but I was on the motorcycle listening to it, and so I wasn't in a position to make a note, and now I can't remember what it was. I will have to look that up. So if I think of it before we get to the end of this episode, I will mention it. But anyway,
what's it to do with?
It was something else that was photographic. It was a podcast talking about photography. It was
It's riveting so far.
Yeah, totally. it would be great if I could remember what it was. And like I said, if it comes back to me, I will remind us all.
Do yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes. That's it. So, social media, social injustice, I've called my next heading.
Right.
There's a woman in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, at the shopping centre with her kids.
Right.
And she saw some guy taking a photograph, what she thought of her kids.
Okay.
With his cell phone. And apparently he said to the kids, I'm sending these to my 16-year-old son.
Right.
And then proceeded to walk off. So, which the kids are then, the mum's going, what'd he say? And so she's run up and found security and told security. And then she stalked the guy, left the kids with security, stalked the centre, found him, taken a photo of him, put him up on social media and said, this man is taking photos of kids. Watch out for kids at your shopping centres, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's gone viral, like 20,000 views in no time whatsoever. It's going everywhere. And then the guy finds out the next day, someone has come through that far, and he goes, what? No, they had a Star Wars display, and I was doing a selfie of myself with Star Wars to send to my son, and the kids who were there, he had to ask them to move out the way so he could get a shot of the scene, of the thing without the minute, and this woman has just gone feral on the thing with no evidence whatsoever, no proof, yeah. And it's just this massive, and then of course there's a big massive media backslash on her. There's debt, she's had death threats and all this sort of stuff. There's a whole article there on Petapixels, even made Petapixel. Just about, maybe get your facts right, maybe use the correct reporting procedures, the police, not the lynching party that is the social internet networks.
Right.
So I thought that was an interesting one to show how stuff can escalate in bad ways.
Yeah.
And then today I had this idea, people are always putting like fake borders around their photographs.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes people put fake Polaroid borders on their photographs. Right. Well, I've come out with a name for it. It's Folaroid, FAUX, Folaroid. I want to get it registered. And then, you know, it's like, what was it? Somebody was it? What is it? Amazon tried to patent the photographing against a white wall or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. Remember
from last year or a couple of months ago, we were talking about it. I want to say, each time anyone puts a fake Polaroid border around their photograph, I want royalties.
Right.
For the Polaroid. What do you reckon my chances are?
Yeah, not too high.
Okay. Now, Olympus announced a very sexy piece of equipment this week, but I'm not actually putting it out there because there's only 7,000 of them in the world. It's the Olympus OMD EM52, whatever the damn stupid naming system is. Right. But they've got a titanium version of it.
Oh, okay.
And it just looks sexy on a stick. It is just a gorgeous looking piece of equipment. But as part of the, they released two other lenses at the same time as this announcement. One was an 8mm 1.8.
Right.
Which is, I've got in 35mm terms, a 16mm 1.8, which is quite amazing.
Yeah.
But, what Pete, and once again, they also released a 7-14mm, which is like a 14-28, lovely lens. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that really caught my interest of the entire release was this line, that on the side of the lens is a lens function button with 27 assignable functions.
What?
On the lens.
On the lens?
You can assign the button on the lens for one of 27 different functions.
Does it have a built-in coffee maker?
What the hell are we doing to photography? Where a lens needs 27 different bloody functions.
That's crazy.
What are we doing?
Wow.
I mean, I've been at some of the workshops lately, I've been picking up people's cameras, and I'm going, what the hell are they doing? Why are they making this so complex? There's a billion bloody features, and the customer's going, how do I use all these things? It's simple. Don't. Use any of them. Yeah.
Oh, it's come back to me. No. It wasn't triangulation. It was Radiolab. And
that makes the difference.
Yeah, it does. Hang on. Just let me fire up MediaMonkey because I've got it on here. It was an episode of Radiolab, and I'm looking for the episode number.
Just doodle among yourself at home there, listeners. Just make a cup of tea.
Sight Unseen. This is it. Radiolab from WNYC. The episode was called Sight Unseen. And unfortunately, they are very slack with their MP3 metadata. They don't have an episode number in the MP3 file. But this episode was called Sight Unseen, and it was all about a photographer who was embedded with a army unit in Iraq.
Yes.
Iraq or Afghanistan, can't remember which. And she got the call that a soldier was being brought in with, you know, serious wounds. She's in the operating theater taking photographs, as she has been employed to do, and the soldier ended up dying. Now, even though she had been paid to be there and to photograph it, she was then not allowed to do anything with the images unless the family approved, but she was not allowed to contact the family. The army should contact the family and say, we can put you in touch with the photographer if you want to.
Yeah.
I won't tell you the rest of the story because it is absolutely compelling listening. And I will, now that I've remembered it, I am copying this and putting this into the show notes for this episode. So definitely, for those of you who like to hear stories of photographers going about their daily jobs and, how things can unfold as a professional working photographer. This is a really interesting story.
Cool.
Yeah. Sorry to just barge in like that. It just came back to me.
No, it's good. No. Because we wouldn't want you to forget again.
No.
The tension, if you didn't remember by next week.
Yeah. So
palpable.
Yeah. Okay. So back to your load of crap. What do you got?
I thought I'd finish. Oh, no, have I not finished?
We're up to reflections no more. What?
Reflection, 27 functions. I have to look into this, find out what they all are. Yeah, so mission.
That's awesome functionality, Glenn.
The Michigan. Institute of Technology, MIT, have come out with a computer algorithm that removes reflections from photos.
Completely ignored that one. Yeah, I saw this.
Well, talk about it. Just see it. Talk about it. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Removes reflections. What if the reflection is so bad you can't see what's on the other side? How does it put back in stuff that you couldn't see?
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the images that they had as the...
They weren't convincing?
No, not exactly. I mean, it's removed some of it. I'll give it that much. It's done...
Yeah.
Hey?
I agree. It's done some.
Yeah, but it's not like it's completely removed.
So it's going to be one of those things that on some instances it'll probably do a very good job.
Yeah.
And some kind of almost just crap. You know?
And if this was the best, best example they could come up with, I'm guessing it's still got a little way to go. Not quite ready for prime time.
That's probably a very good point. But it's interesting to see where people are going with stuff.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the Microsoft technology that's working on, you know, motion blurring images after they've been shot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if that ever comes to fruition and is ready for prime time, then that will absolutely change the course of photographic history.
Yeah. I mean, Photoshop CC's shake reduction sharpening is pretty darn good.
Is it?
Yeah. It does. Not always, but
to be honest, I haven't looked at it.
In some circumstances where you've got a little bit of motion movement,
yeah,
it does a pretty darn good job of sharpening. So,
right.
No, I suffer.
Something else has just come back to me.
Oh, go on.
While we're talking about this, blur removal of images, it occurred to me through the week, you know what's wrong with every single TV show and movie that's ever been made?
We weren't involved in the production?
Well, aside from that,
the two
every
things
time, wrong. every single time you see someone in a TV show or a movie flicking through their family photographs, you ever noticed how every photograph looks like it was taken by a professional photographer? It's absolutely never blurry. It's never crappy backlight. It's like every photo looks awesome.
Well, not always. Sometimes
really?
They do show sometimes they do show actual photographs of the actor when they were young. If they're showing young,
yes,
they'll often bring some of their own family photos in to give it a genuine family look.
Yep.
So some of those look crap.
Yeah.
You can imagine.
Yeah. But we were watching something the other night and there was this scene where, the actor happens to stumble across a box in the attic and, takes the lid off and comes across, family photos from 10 years ago, and they're flicking through them and they're all perfectly amazing, exposed, perfectly composed, perfectly, just everything.
Yeah.
As that bears no resemblance to reality.
Credibility zero is that the name of the show.
Exactly.
Well, I've got one last thing on our list.
Yeah.
And it's DP Review have put out an astounding.
From who?
DP Review, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
Have put out an astoundingly bad gallery of images from the new Canon 5D RS for those wanting to look at it.
The RS?
The new 50 megapixel.
Do we know what that stands for?
Yeah. Well, I know what their photos look like. Yeah. So, yeah, it is just diabolically bad. And they've been given
just because of the images?
Well, their images are shite. They are just, they've been given access before anybody else of a completely new camera, changing everything the way Canon do stuff.
Right.
Go out there and take some awesome photos. They did. Awesomely bad.
Right.
I mean, I just don't even understand why they would take the photos they did and how it proves anything. And it's good on you guys. Total wait. But someone popped out, not in the lunch break, because that would have given them a bit of time to do something. They popped out in their smoko break, the 4 minutes you get.
Yeah, right.
That must have been their review time. I reckon the guy from Mr. Cannon's come into their showroom or whatever it is they have.
Mm.
Look, we've got this brand new camera. Yeah, no one's allowed to see it. Oh, I've got to go to the toilet. He's popped out the toilet. Somebody's grabbed a pop memory card, jumped out the front door, gone bang, bang, popped back in, take the card out, and the guy's come back from the toilet and kept on talking about it.
Now,
that's what it looks like.
I have not had a chance to read the story because I've only just seen the link.
Is it a story?
But there's two images that are they're
one's
in pairs.
One's a raw, straight out of camera.
Oh, okay.
And one's they've edited.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I mean, the photos of the blind, of the, I think it's an air conditioning duct or something they've taken the photograph of.
Okay.
So glad, and I'm so glad they did the amount of post work they did on it, because wow, that really, really made that, that air conditioning vent pop. Yeah. And what's this? Oh, it's a tiny rusty knob on the top of a car.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, the work they've put in post to really make that thing zing is quite amazing.
So what are they trying to, what are they trying to tell us? That, that when you do post work, it's not going to look any different to what came straight out of the camera? Is that the argument?
It could be what they're trying to put. I have no idea. All I can tell is
that just tells you the guy doesn't know how to use
bad Lightroom. Photographs taken with a new camera.
Yeah.
Why?
That's bizarre.
But look at the photos.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah.
You're showing the world for the first time ever photographs taken with this new supposedly amazing tool, and all you can produce is this.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the RS component.
Yeah, that's definitely the RS. So that's it for me. That's about all I've got, really. Right. Yeah.
Well, Carl sent us a link today on Facebook.
Yeah, we can't show that one.
You can't show that one?
Is that the one about the where is he going to
Studio Anywhere?
Yeah, no, you can do that one. Yeah, I thought you were showing the one that, Glenn, not sure if this is undercutting your workshop tutorials, but here's a good beginner tip for cheap studios. That
yeah,
one?
This is it. This is it.
You can't show that.
It's called Studio Anywhere.
Can't do that. It's undercutting my...
Yeah.
I gave one last week, remember, on the strobus, the flash, the single light?
Yeah.
Of course you can. Hey, you learn from as many voices as you can, I say, but mine's highly recommended.
It is.
By me.
It is.
And bank manager.
Did you have a look at the link, though?
Not at all, no.
There's a great image halfway down where this guy's set up three flash units almost, you know, like side by side, one with a cyan gel over it, one with a yellow gel over it, one with a magenta gel over it.
Yeah.
Oh, Fired them at a model. And so the three combine to create pretty close to white light, but you've got the three shadows that are colored.
Yeah, different colors, yeah.
That's awesome. I like that. Cool. That's
pretty
cool.
I like that too. That's very cool.
Yeah, it is very cool.
It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
The rest of it was fairly predictable stuff, but is stuff that I've seen you do.
Oh, yeah, of course, he's copying me. Because I invented everything.
That's right.
I'm a new voice in photography. Nothing I do has ever been done before.
Exactly. Adam sent us a couple of links to the wall on the Facebook page. One was about...
It's going to be easier just to bring him on board and have him talk rather than putting all these bait links and bothering us all the time.
One was a guy called James Day who...
I know James, yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you're neck of the woods, Sydney.
Right. I gathered that.
And the country. But yeah.
Pulls a wedding stunt to blow his couple's minds. This is a 6-minute video, and I watched it just before we started recording. It takes about 5.5 minutes before you get to the reveal of what the amazing thing is that he's pulled off. So I'm not going to spoil it.
No.
Everyone should go and watch
what happens is.
Because I had to sit through 5.5 minutes to find out what it was.
So you have to as well.
Now you don't have to. You can at least skip through to the 5.5 minutes.
At least 5.25,
But it was a really nicely produced video.
It's good. It's good. Well, he was photographing a mate of his who's also a professional photographer. So he wanted to do something sort of out of the box.
Right.
Which is why... You go that effort, not that you'd ever do that again. But it's a cool idea. I like
it. It's very cool. And to pull it off must have been a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah. Anyway. Or a lot of people doing a little bit of work.
Yeah. Now,
It's like the pyramids.
I think some of us are familiar with Perfect Brows from One On One.
No.
On One.
Yeah.
Right. Well, at the moment, you can grab that for free courtesy of F-Stoppers.
Really?
Which Adam also sent us the link for. So that link will be in the show notes, take you through to the F-Stoppers website. And they've basically just got a voucher code which will allow you to download Perfect Brows, the current version, whatever version that is, 9.5, as a freebie to keep forever.
Yeah.
So if you're interested,
mind you, there's a little bug in it which logs into your webcam and watches you. But other than that,
it's great.
It's kind of creepy, but good. If you see the little green light comes on, they're watching.
That's it.
Yeah.
And we got a link posted to the Shutters Inc. page today from Aaron King.
Can you believe it?
I cannot.
Me either.
Thank you, Aaron. It's an old story. Facebook representative claims they own.
No, I thought this is a new version of the old story. This is like once again, I think.
That's what it is. It's a new version of an old story. So link will be in the show notes as well for anyone who wants to check it out.
So are you dissing Aaron's post?
No, I'm not. Not at all.
You're saying, oh, Aaron, thanks for sending us old news.
No.
Gee, thanks
I'm
for
just
nothing.
Saying that this
we've
is...
We've done that. Covered, Aaron. Covered.
This is whack-a-mole, you know. This thing just pops its head up every 12 months. Yeah.
Don't say that.
I'm not referring to Aaron as a mole. I'm talking about the story.
You're not a very nice man at all. And I thought I was the bad cop.
Oh, dear. Anyway, I came up with a few stories this week.
Is it the iPhone case? Who'd send that one?
Yeah, that was from me.
Oh, I had that 2 years ago. I don't use it anymore.
Oh, really?
You used to have the same iPhone case, yeah.
Oh.
See. So let's beat Aaron up for sending old news. What about you?
Well, you see, now you're jumping ahead. I wasn't up to that.
Oh, I don't know.
I just saw it and thought, that looks really cool. You would love it.
It's cool.
I didn't know that you'd already seen it. Or...
Tell everyone what it is.
Hey?
Tell everyone what it is.
Okay, so this was something I came across while trawling eBay, and it is a camera case for an iPhone 4, 5, or 5S, and essentially it is one half of, or like the front half of a rangefinder camera, and you slot your iPhone into it, and then you hang it around your neck, and it looks like you've got a rangefinder camera around your neck when really it's just an iPhone in a fancy case.
Yeah. The good thing is, though, the lens is like a mirror, so you can use it for selfies. Serious.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a convex, something or other.
Right.
It's a con. The problem with the case is, it's like five pieces.
Oh, okay.
It takes, like, it gets slotted together in like five different pieces to get together, and always one of the five pieces is always falling off.
Right.
Now, the lens falls off, as an example, all the time. You know?
Oh, okay.
You put in your jeans, the lens comes off. Or, yeah, so it as cool as it was, it kind of did my head in.
Right.
Yeah. The little rangefinder bit at the top, that's sort of separate to the body, so that comes off all the time as well.
Oh,
and,
okay.
But it was very cool because you pull that out and people, what's that? What the hell's that? That's my iPhone. What?
Nice.
Because, I like to show off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also came across an article on weddingsite.co.uk, and this article was called The Amazing Images of the World's Best Wedding Photographers.
As judged by the amazing world's best wedding photographers.
Something like that.
When you get so high, how can you be judged? Yeah.
What?
Don't judge yourself.
Yeah.
I'm number 7,762.
Right. Well, there was one Australian on the list. Yvant.
Is there?
Yep. Yvant was number six.
Oh, yeah. Seeking.
So,
seeking to inspire.
But there were some lovely images in this particular post from some of these photographers. So I just thought I'd throw that in there for anyone that wanted to check it out. Jerry Gahonis has come up with a new product, which is, again, a twist on an old product, and he's called it the Omega Reflector. And what?
Yeah, we did that about 6 months ago.
No, we didn't. When?
We did. Go back in the podcast.
That was one of those episodes you recorded by yourself.
You and your old news this week. You're blaming having to go at Aaron, and look at you.
I'm not having a go at Aaron.
You're dredging the bowels of the internet for old stuff and photography. I didn't know this was a retro show. I thought we were saving a retrospective for episode 300.
Okay, fine. I won't talk about the.
No, go on, talk about it. Go on. I know you want to.
I honestly don't remember us covering
it. Reflector with a hole in it.
Yes, it is. That's right. It's a reflector with a hole in it. There you go. That's all you need to know, people.
It's a reflector with a hole in the middle.
There you go.
It's as simple as that.
Oh, dear. And the last thing that I had was just a really cool travel video that a couple of guys who traveled through South America have put together. And it's only one portion of what is going to be a multiple series. And this just kind of grabbed me because at the moment I'm on a bit of a video editing bent. And
This has come from the archive of theatlantic.com. It came out in 2012, Bruce.
So it has. Look at that. So, 3 year old.
What are you doing? These guys have probably finished the trip.
Died of old age.
All the other episodes had kids and showed them to the kids.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was just something that I came across this week.
What's cool about it?
Hey?
What's cool about it?
Just the way it was edited, the way they'd chosen a piece of music which started with just solo piano, and over the course of 5 minutes it sort of built up and built up and built up, and then the...
It's like two pianos.
No, more like the way lightning crashes builds up by live.
No, don't listen to that sort of crap.
but just the way they...
Are they touring with Nickelback?
The style of the editing as the music sort of ramped up. It was really...
I saw an article today, 10 Reasons Why We Hate Nickelback.
Oh, really?
It could be 10 Reasons Why We Hate Live. So
you don't like live either?
I do have taste.
You're a fussy bugger.
Oh, I'm very fussy. You just figured this out.
Anyway, well, that's it from me.
I did get the new Alabama Shakes album last week.
That's growing on me.
That's pretty good.
That's growing.
That's it. We've kind of covered everything we have to talk about.
We have. Now we sit down and edit it all.
We picked on Aaron. We picked on Adam. We picked on Carl. Who haven't we picked on? We haven't said anything nasty about Melania yet.
No, we haven't.
Jan Haneske hasn't said anything about the bloody camera, where it's at, what she's doing. Come on, Auntie Jan, get yourself in gear. We haven't got all. Oh yes, go on.
That reminds me again. Doesn't. I had a new applicant asking for a position in the Pass the Camera project number one. And that's Carly Diamond, who I went out shooting with a few weeks back in the rain. So she's a new listener to the podcast, and I accepted her, and I meant to send her a message. So Carly, my apologies if I don't get around to sending you the message. That project is already underway. We've already assigned all the people to it. But we will do another one after this one finishes.
You can do the digital one with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Except that's not going to happen because it's iOS only. So that's not happening. You need to find an app that's cross-platform. That won't work. You couldn't do a cross-platform one because you wouldn't be able to transfer it from an iOS user to an Android user back. So that idea is dead in the water. We got to go over the film camera every time.
Speaking about applicants, she was applying to join. I got somebody writing an application to become an assistant photographer at Creative Photo Workshops the other day, and it was awesome. Like the first three paragraphs, awesome. It was saying great things about me, and all really, it's all me. And it was all great.
Yeah.
And then I was reading it out loud as it arrived. I was reading it out loud to this female photographer I'm working with at the moment, helping out.
Yeah.
And then the very last paragraph and a half must have had 40 bloody spelling errors in it. It's like it got tired. Or spell check got tired.
Fell asleep on the keyboard.
Just one sentence, an opportunity like this would allow me to really apply my talent in a practical and competitive environment, develop as a photographer, and build strong relationships with people involved in the industry. There's 10 mistakes in that sentence alone.
Wow.
He was going so well.
Yeah. His mum wrote the first three paragraphs.
Oh, God. This is so funny. Funny. Anyway, it says, I believe I can be very fluent and competent assistant. Well, not on spelling.
Yeah. So the reason that I have to edit this tonight is because this weekend, myself, David Cambry, Carly Diamond,
in the sun.
And Malcolm Fackender, we're all headed out to Coonabarabran for the weekend.
You going with Malcolm?
Yeah, Malcolm's coming.
Say hello from me.
I will do that.
Give him a hug.
Yep.
It'll pat the bum and say that's from Glenn. Right. Yeah, no, he'll understand that. That'll make sense to him.
I'm sure it will.
I've never met the guy.
He's got the audio version of it.
I've never met the guy. I'll send word one to him, but you do that and you'll never forget me. No, but seriously, just say hello from me. We've been meaning to catch up, me and Malcolm, for 2 years.
Yeah, so we can't get access to the Siding Springs Observatory because it's fenced off and not accessible on weekends. However, a woman that works there who I was speaking with on the phone put me in touch with a guy, believe it or not, whose name is Peter Starr.
Oh, God.
S-T-A-R-R, who used to be the manager of the Siding Springs Observatory, but he has a...
He's still got the key.
Yeah, he's got a home. His home is only 5 or 10 Ks from the Siding Springs Observatory.
Well, you'll never see it in the shop.
And on his block of land, he has 5 little mini observatories.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. So optical or radar? Or
radio? Optical.
Oh, they're not, okay.
Yeah, not radio telescopes.
Little domes.
They're observatories, yeah. So for $20 a head, we can go onto his land and we can use his observatories as foreground interest for our Milky Way shots.
$20 a head? Talk about opportunity knocking.
Yeah, I know.
What happened to that country hospitality?
Well, he also has, in the biggest of the five, apparently, he's got a 22-inch telescope, and you can attach
It's actually twice as big as an 11-inch.
Yes, it is. You can actually attach your camera and shoot celestial bodies through the telescope.
Yeah.
But he charges you $100 for that.
I bet he does. Yeah. You can see Bondi from there, can you?
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, this is awesome.
Yeah, it does. So
I'm jealous. I wish I was going.
Next
I wish I'd been invited.
We'll have some... So next week we'll have something to talk about.
Hint, hint.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have come if I'd invited you.
Yeah, but you know, it's nice to be invited.
Oh.
Yeah. You know I wouldn't come. That's why it's safe to invite me. Right, okay. It's always safe to invite me because I'm not going
to
go.
Right. You want to come to Borneo with me, Glenn?
No. What if I said yes to that one? That'll just give you a scare. Your wife's going, you're bringing who? Yeah,
exactly. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
You too. It's been lovely chatting with you.
Absolutely.
And everybody, it's been lovely listening to us.
Yes, it has. All right, talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Shutters Inc., another audiotoyou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.